Doug Christie. He's Jason Ross.
Get off my lawn.
Spend your afternoons with DC and Jay Ross on Sports 1140 KHTK.
All right, 4 o'clock hour underway here. Jason Ross, Doug Christie. Thank you to everyone checking us out today, certainly on our YouTube. Hello out there. How are we looking? One of our, who was this, Jason on the YouTube said, I think during the breaks, instead of dead air, on the chat room should be allowed to interact with Chris and Jay. It would be lots of fun.
No.
They can. Those guys can chime in.
Chris has been known to.
Yeah, that's dangerous.
Then we come back, and now it's all in a tough.
Yeah,
and,
like, what happened?
Well, it happened, Chris.
later this hour, at the bottom of the hour, Mark J. Spears from The Undefeated will join us. But Doug, we've been doing this for a couple days. We'll do this all the way up to the draft.
Put his government name out
there? It's out there. It's out there on his Twitter handle.
Okay. Jay for
jamming.
Okay.
Just checking. We'll ask him about that.
All right.
We've been doing a player profile on a potential pick for the Kings at 9. Again, that some of these people may go higher than the Kings. Some will go after. But we're looking at potential targets. And today on our draft player profile, we're looking at Oregon small forward, shooting guard.
Yeah.
6'6", 190-pound senior. Yeah. Oh, he's an old man.
Yeah, 24 years old.
Duarte is our player profile today. And to be honest, I mean, I'm having fun with that a little bit and joking. I've seen that as a knock, and that's completely unfair. That is a, like, why? He's, why? At 24, is
well,
that?
Well, to be honest with you, sometimes we see players who they've been held back a couple times, and they're the wrong age playing in a, and it's held back because of athletics and different things. I have no idea about Chris, born in Canada from the Dominican Republic. I like him. I like him a lot.
What about him?
First of all, 3-and-D.
Yep.
That's where
that's the league.
That's where the league is at. So let's not even say fits a need for the Kings. He fits the league. Meaning, if he's there, sit him in.
So he fits the Kings.
He fits the Kings.
Yeah.
6'6". I like the
size.
Do we need 6'7", 6'8"? Yeah, okay. But defensively, he gets after it. I think he's opportunistic on the defensive end, gets his hands in passing lanes. Just happened to be last night. Oregon was playing against Arizona State, and I sat down. And
I want a replay.
And I watched a little bit tape so I can go back and study some more. But just watching him, looks for a shot, has a nice confidence, handles the basketball, handles it in pick and roll. You're not going to take the basketball from him. Looks to have a good poise about him, but he can score the basketball. And I want to say, I was just looking at it, 21 points, 5 rebounds. That's a good number. I like that one. 6 assists. So now he's demonstrating, like, what that says to me normally, and I'm going to say normally because I need to study some more, but what I've seen, I really like. It says, when I'm getting mine and you choose to take it away from me, I have the ability to find my teammates. Especially we're talking a 40-minute game,
right.
So 2 20-minute halves, it's a little bit different. 6 assists is a pretty good number.
Good number.
So he's trending, and understand, I'm saying this, he's triple-double-ish type of game, meaning he'll go get the rebounds, he'll also pass the basketball and find his teammates. He's crafty as a scorer. I've seen a couple jump stops, step through, pump fake, get a guy in the air, off the glass. Those are things that I like, and he plays both ends of the court.
Yeah, and I think the other part about where I was going on the age part of playing 4 years, but he's done what you would want as a four-year player. He's gotten better. Like, you see, all the numbers have increased. His scoring from his, junior year went from 12-9 to 17-1. So he's also probably more of a point of emphasis guy, probably more of a scouting report guy when you're playing Oregon State and Cal and SC, UCLA, all the teams in the conference. And he's... Look, anybody that comes in, there's going to be player development and some teaching that goes on just to understand the game. But he's played a lot of basketball. I mean, he hasn't been a professional, but he's played a lot of college basketball, and he's in a good program. And, you know, even if you do some – I know people like to do comps, but, Doug, some of the guys that have come from Oregon into the league, I think they have good coaching there. Dylan Brooks.
Yes.
And you just kind of go, man, that guy went in the second round. He's a tough player. Mm-hmm. And – you know, there's been a few other, Peyton Pritchard, I like what he did for
Boston. Yeah, he did a really
Oregon,
good Boston.
For Boston. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's just been a few guys like that from that program. Dana Altman's a good coach. I don't know if the – he should be in that range, anywhere from 8 to 15 somewhere. Who knows where, where he exactly goes.
I actually saw him going in one of the mock drafts too, and I was just like, oh, please, no. Where do you think I'm going to say?
I don't know.
Memphis Grizzlies.
Oh, and they're 16 or 17 or 18 or somewhere, I think, right?
They are – I thought I saw 12. No, you're right. 17.
Okay.
17. And I was thinking to myself, oh, no. Actually, that's a good number. That's where someone that we know was drafted at 17. I don't either. But he fits similar to that style. He's going to scrappy, intense, gets after it on the defensive end, can spot up, knock down shots. If he gets a rebound, he can bring the basketball, but he's also demonstrated the skill to pass it. Like, that's what I'd like to see out of the Kings. I mean, just can I get a roster full?
Right.
Not of that size. I'm talking just that type of scrappy player, because that's what I think that we see when we see Memphis. And the last time that we faced the Grizzlies, they manhandled us.
Yeah, and I think, look, again, do you look at what a player can do or can't do? When everything I've seen as a, quote, weakness or a negative has been age. That wouldn't bother me at all.
Mm-hmm.
The second one is some have said he's not uber athletic. Okay, but then when we look across the league, I think there are outliers. Like, you can watch De'Aaron Fox and go, okay, who's faster than that guy? You might see a guy that's bouncy. And
so
like,
what are we thinking when we say athleticism? Are we thinking speed? We thinking jumping ability?
That's what I wonder. Because if you really think about a lot of the league is in that same general area. I mean, there's the freaks and, like, again, the outliers. And then everyone else, like, if they look slow, but do they get to their spot? Do they stop their man? Can they get their shot? I mean, there are all types. Like, is Dylan Brooks this great athlete?
No.
Is Kyle Anderson? I'm talking about some Memphis guys. Is
they call
Buddy
him slow-mo.
Hield? No. Is, you know, obviously they're good athletes.
No, I mean, they run lob plays for him.
Right.
That what I would say is we don't run lob plays for Buddy Hield.
No.
So he's more athletic than that, and Buddy seems to be fine.
And he's made his way in the league and will be here for a while. So
absolutely.
I think when those are your not, especially like light, like everybody puts on weight, like strength. If the age wouldn't bother me, and even that, unless it's like they're way too slow, like they don't. No one's saying he doesn't belong in the league.
Yeah.
So when you're not the, okay, he doesn't run like LeBron. Well, who does? Or he's not jumping like.
I'll use this, and I can't. It's been a while since I played, but and he's in your foursome. I'll be in Connie.
Yeah.
Our old strength and conditioning coach. He said to me one day we were training, and he goes, Doug, what do you think the average NBA player, how much time do you think that they spend in the air and how much time do you think they spend at top speed? And I focused on the air part. And I was just wondering. He said over a game, it's about 4 seconds. Over a whole game. There's an exception to the rule. Like if you just maximum jump like Giannis a couple times. But that's like it's over – emphasized in many ways. Now, there's those explosive, hyper, freakish, where you go in and he just takes off. Boom, De'Aaron Fox sometimes. So he's probably on the higher scale of that. Top speed, with the exception of, and there's one play, LeBron James in the finals, the block.
That's speed and jumping.
But that's really the only time you can get to top speed
yeah.
is when you're in the far corner.
And you're trailing a play.
Because as soon as you hit half court, you got to downshift and let off the clutch.
Right.
Or otherwise, you're going to run over the baby
10.
And the lady. And yeah. Right. So rarely do you – it's really more about quickness and start and stop. So when we talk about athleticism, like, okay.
Yeah.
If you got it,
if
great.
You have it, it's a bragging point.
Yeah.
But
Luka does not strike.
No.
Exactly.
Again, they're athletes. They're good athletes.
Oh,
but
no doubt.
Tyrese
I'm not saying
Halliburton,
that.
Right? I mean, do you go fastest guy in the league? No.
Nope.
Jumps the highest? No.
Nope.
Tons of skill.
Oh, my God.
Tons
but
of skill.
He's also athletic enough to get his shot off. He's athletic enough to run a lob, play for,
right.
and dunk it. But he doesn't. I actually like this more because this is something that I had to learn, but I didn't learn until I started getting injured. I don't want you to depend on your athleticism. I want it to be in your toolbox as a tool that you use when you need it.
Power pellet.
Because most times when a guy depends on his athleticism, he glosses over a lot of the other skills and fundamentals that put them in a bad place. And then it's like, okay, when I take that away from you and I don't let you drive or I don't let you do this, what do you got to give the game?
Yeah. Yeah, because if the knocks were, worried about athleticism because slow, can't get by a first man. Like, okay, now that's an issue, but that's not what's being said.
Right. So, you know, that's what I read about when I was all giddy.
Yeah. Right.
That would be something that would make me go, okay. Yeah. And I said that to you. If you squint, you might see Luka Doncic without the craftiness to get it open.
I think you have to close your eyes.
Close my eyes.
Not squint.
I'm not giddy about that.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. All right, that's our player profile. Look at a guy like Chris Duarte. Could he be a king at nine? We'll find out next Thursday, a week from today. When we come back, what is next for the Kings? What are some of the free agent possibilities? And what if they don't keep Rashawn Holmes? It's a possibility. We'll discuss that next on KHDK. Back here on KHDK, Capital Casino is back with indoor gaming and dining located inside at 411 North 16th Street in downtown Sacramento. Jason Ross, Doug Christie, Mark Spears from the undefeated joins us at the bottom of the hour. Also, Five On It coming your way. Still the crossover as well. But the NBA free agency is coming up soon, DC, and one of the big decisions the Kings are going to have is on Rashawn Holmes. And I'm sure there's interest in keeping him, but based on a couple of cap parameters, they're not going to have the same ability to sign him as some other teams. And so when you start talking about a guy like Rashawn Holmes, who has not made the same kind of money that other players have in the league, the Kings got years out of him to help put him into a different stratosphere, which is great, but he may end up be getting paid from someone else, because I think there are legitimate suitors that are going to look at him and say, that's who we want on our team.
And who was that interview with? Shams?
Shams today, yeah, where Rashawn was talking
to him. Yeah, there was an interview, and I'm only taking it. We could get Rashawn on here, and he could tell us something totally different. But based upon that interview, the quote that I took is, you know, do what's right for your family. And I would say whoever offers Rashawn the most money or something comparable to that most money, that's most likely what he's going to do, and totally makes sense. I get it. That led me to believe, okay, there's a strong possibility that he is not back here in the Sacramento Kings jersey, and that doesn't have anything to do with whether the Kings, and I'm talking about Monty in the front office, everyone loves Rashawn. So do you want him back? Yes. But to your point, being an unrestricted free agent allows you the ability to – take the highest bidder. This isn't restricted free agent where the Kings can now match an offer. That's not a thing. Is he?
Yeah, there's certain. I forget the exact. I think the premise of his deal was because it was 2 years. I think if it was three, they don't have the full bird rights. That's the best way to put it. So normally when you have a player and you get the bird rights, you can come in and offer $100 million. It's like, okay, I can match. I can go over.
Yeah.
I can go over my cap without worry.
Yeah, to keep my player.
But I think because of what they signed him at, which was such a great deal, and he's still under their non-full bird rights, they can only get to a certain increase. And so that's irrelevant to Charlotte, Chicago, Boston, whoever else may be interested.
And if you think of him in Charlotte, he would be
fantastic.
He's replacing Bismack Biyombo. Yeah.
Dallas. Yeah. Dallas is really interested, apparently.
Good fit. Yeah, I could totally see that. I mean, all the lobs, the push shots, all the shots that Luka is going to be able to produce for him. So happy for Rashawn. Unfortunate for the Kings. I'm not going to say it's not going to happen. I'm just going to say, just reading the tea leaves, the strong possibility that he may go someplace else. He's definitely going to entertain it, which he should.
Yes, he should.
I want to put that out because you're right. Rashawn outperformed his contract. The kid that comes to mind is Thies that was in Boston, which they got rid of him, but he was on a really good contract based upon what he brought to the squad and based upon what Rashawn brought. Defense, shot blocking, the push shot, stretching the floor vertically, and just being a good dude.
Yeah.
That's a thing, too.
Well, and look at how much it changed that offseason, Doug. The big prize, I'm putting air quote, was Dedmon. That was going to be the answer at center. Rashawn Holmes was kind of like, oh, well, you're also
signing. Until four games in.
Holmes, like, what? If you sign Dedmon, you got back, like, I don't know.
And then Holmes came in. It was more of an insurance policy at that particular time. Yeah.
Which was great. From the insurance policy to starter to super productive to guy we got to keep on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And again, it's more of a what's been a great signing for the Kings, but you're right. I think the reality may end up being he's not here, and not out of anybody's, not of his want to not be here, but because he's in that spot of his career where
He may not get there again. That's the whole thing. This is
a big payday coming.
Yeah, it's like making it to the finals. Listen, you got a chance to do something that's generational type of wealth. You have a child, a family, all the different things that go along with it. Like, I wish Rashawn nothing but the best because he's a really solid dude. We've had him on. He's been on with Carmichael and just what he's meant to the community. He is everything you want in a king.
Yep.
But –
would be a big spot to fill.
It would be. And I know that we're going to get around to one of the draft prospects, somebody that you and I have talked about that you brought up, that if that is the case, that is a really viable option at that particular pick. Not to mention Monty and the ability with free agency. And I know people were up in arms question about the trade. And they were saying, oh, De'Aaron Fox and Tyrese Halliburton, and then there was Damian Lillard. And I've said to you, I was like, that's not necessarily what it is. It's also, if it turns into a three-team deal, do you have the ability? Like, hey, I'm over here. I want to be in the game. Okay, I can't do that, but there's a place for everybody. Maybe that's how you acquire something in all of that to make sure that you fill the holes that you need if you're Monty McNair, which I think is really smart.
Where we are present day, I don't know if this is a player per se, but more of a question on free agent needs. When you're looking at the Kings right now, as they're constructed, what are their needs? Because I think immediately.
Is Rashawn here or is he not here?
I guess that's the point, right? If he goes, that's number one, right?
Is Harkless here?
Don't know.
Is
Terrence Davis.
And so you got to answer the questions if you're going to ask me a question, Jason. Come on.
But I guess the common thread of all, I feel like all three are tough. And I don't know that the team has been super tough. So, I mean, looking at tougher presence type guys, I mean, again, they're not punching people.
I think you're right on to something. Yeah. I think out of the whole team, those are three of the tougher guys. Mm-hmm. Each one of them with exception of Rashawn, but the way that Rashawn plays is that way.
Yeah, he doesn't back
but
down.
You saw Mo Harkless stand up to somebody. You saw Terrence Davis stand up to somebody when that somebody knocked down Tyrese Halliburton. Like, you need those type of players. So that would be a need if you're going to say that. Also, all those positions that you might lose, those would be needs. Even if you kept some of those guys, Jason, I think some of those positions are still needs, whether it's more length at the wing, more athleticism. Can you find those 3-and-D type of bridges from and Crowder from the Suns? Those are type of players that the Kings need to covet. And I think Monty McNair has demonstrated that with the type of players that he's brought in.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's going to be a way, one, obviously, to make the team better, but it's kind of that fluid nature that I talked about of a draft board or an off-season planning board of if this, then this kind of thing. Because, you know, ideally, maybe Holmes does sign. I'm getting more and more to the point where I feel like it's not going to be the case.
Watching the interview, and that was the first time that I've saw Rashawn in that forum, and like – outside, you know, Shams is not Sacramento.
Right.
So, you know, being with Sean, coming on with you and I, being with Carmichael, like those different things. I thought he was open and honest. And
very much so.
Part of his decision, which it should be, is looking out for his family and making sure that he's, like I said, this is generational type of money that he's looking at this point. And no one ever saw that necessarily when he came in as a second round draft pick, I believe it was, goes to Philly and is trying to get on with Embiid and those guys, then finds his way to the Suns. I see him at the Suns. I'm like, man, I really like that guy. And lo and behold, there's an opportunity. You bring him in, and I'm like, man, I liked him there. Really like him in the purple and black. Just throwing that out there. Unfortunately, my vibe, it's just my vibe from what I saw on the video.
I'm with you.
He may not be here.
All right, more on the Kings coming up, including more conversations with Mark Spears from the Undefeated. He joins us when we come back here on KHDK.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Back here at Sports 1140 KHK5 on it, coming out your way at the top of the hour. We take you to A's baseball. It's the A's and the Mariners. Doug put on the Yankees today. Thank you, Doug. No?
That would be.
Was that me?
Yeah, that would be a negative,
bro. All right. Well, taking on the Red Sox. That game is just getting underway. Can't wait. More basketball is coming up, though, around the corner. California Classic, free agency, summer league as the NBA season just ended. Parade day today for Milwaukee. And now we're going to bring in
the one, the only.
That's right. One of our favorites here, Mark Spears from the Undefeated, joining us here on the show. Mark, how are you?
Man, don't you owe me something?
What do we owe you?
No, he said, don't you.
No, he was talking to you, Doug.
No, he wasn't talking to me.
What do I owe you, Mark?
No, I'm talking about the guy that didn't send me the NCAA bracket.
Ooh.
Oh, see? How you gonna bring? We got our people on. Then you man, look how we starting off on a bad note.
He used to take my money every year, Doug.
That's what I'm saying, no man. What's up, brother? How you doing, baby?
Man, I just got back from the finals. I'm exhausted, man. Like I played. I'm tired. I never felt a flight from Chicago back to the San Francisco would take so long. Traveling is kind of tough now, a little scary, man. But I was blessed to cover these amazing finals and a lot of these playoffs. And I don't know that I could think of a playoff pound for pound that were better than what we just saw.
And that's interesting to get there with injuries, with different storylines along the way. And I agree, Mark. I thought the finals wildly entertaining. You've done this so long. Where would you put Giannis? Like, how do we put that into perspective from a guy that looked like he was going to be out for maybe a year with damaging knee, you know, structure damage there to one of the great finals? How do we even compartmentalize what he just did?
Yeah, you know, the first part about like the injury, I talked to somebody that was right there when he got hurt, and they overheard somebody from the Bucks say, man, he's done for the season. So that's just incredible that he was able to get back. And so kudos to him, because I'll be honest, and Doug, maybe you felt differently. I thought he was kind of soft before. You know, I remember in the playoffs 2 years ago in the Eastern Conference Finals, and he had an ankle injury, and he decided to sit instead of staying in there for during a crucial time, and the Bucks ended up losing. So everything where I question about Giannis is gone. I mean, I think the thing that was smart was when he just said, the heck with, you know, three-point shooting and took it to the low post and just dominated there. To me, that's what the Bucks needed them to do all along, and it got them a ring.
You know, it's interesting that you say that, Mark, about the soft part, because I think a lot of that was on the mental side. I even take it to the free throws. Like, you know this, Mark, and Jason, you probably do as well. Like, you can go to a practice, and you'll see Shaq, you see Giannis, and he'll shoot free throws just like he did in Game 6 in practice. The problem is, can you take it into the game and deliver? And however he found the mental toughness, and I was telling Jason, kind of like golf, a swing thought, whatever he found in that moment, he had the mental toughness to stay with it. I would agree with you more than anything. I'm not questioning his physical toughness, but I do agree with you. No. The mental toughness, and he demonstrated that at the highest level.
Yeah, you know, I was in Phoenix, man, when – people were screaming at him at the free throw line, and I mean, shoot, you talking about somebody who was a horrible free throw shooter in college without nobody in the stands. Yeah, I can only imagine if I had 20,000 people counting. But he eventually just blocked that out, said the heck with it, and started making them. And so now my respect for him is grown leaps and bounds, and the humility that he shows, the respect for not only Greece but for Nigeria. There's a lot to like about him, and you're about to get inundated with him locally, nationally, you know, worldwide. I think he's about to be a big time likable figure, and perhaps the star of Space Jam 3.
Foreshadowing.
no doubt. I don't know how you feel. I don't know how you feel about this player. I'm a real big Jrue Holiday fan. You know, I enjoy players that play the whole game. What do you think this does for him, and how much do you enjoy Drew Holiday? Because I do immensely.
One of my buddies, man, I think he described him best. He says, like a middle linebacker playing basketball, man.
Wow.
He's just this big physical defender, and just makes it really, really tough on somebody. And you know who's most excited about Drew Holiday right now?
Who's that?
USA Basketball.
Yes.
Yeah.
They can't wait till he shows up out there, and all these little pesky guards giving him some problems right now. Like, hey, Drew, go get them.
Yeah.
Go
and ahead. You can play physical in FIBA.
Yeah, exactly. Go get my Patty Mills, man. Go get him. Go get Rudy, you know, Lopez or whoever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
From Spain. That stuff stops now, man. And
yeah.
I actually think his addition to USA Basketball is going to make a life a lot easier for them. Come, I'm guessing they'll probably miss the first game, but he'll be ready for preliminary action when it most matters.
Mark, how much did Coach Bud need this? We heard reports before the playoffs started. Ooh. This guy's won, took teams and had all-star teams, been one seeds in Atlanta, one seeds in Milwaukee, but he may not keep his job if he doesn't get out of the first or second round.
Yeah.
He's a title contender, now, or title winner. Are they all in? Are they safe? What do they feel about him?
I mean, he did a great – he saved his best coaching job for the final. It was amazing. It was like, wow, he's made adjustments.
Yeah.
Got Giannis to play on the inside. He did a fantastic coaching job. I was pleasantly surprised because I do agree with you. I don't think he'd have a job right now if he made it to the final, if he didn't make it to the finals. And one might wonder, like, shoot, should he maybe just say walk away now while he's got the house money and you know, just basically go away for a year and raise his level? Because I do wonder if they have some struggles early next season, could they do something to him, you know? But, hey, I mean, winning a championship did a lot for Rick Carlisle. I think it could do a lot for Bud, too, and the players. I can't see somebody now in their postseason meeting saying they want to get rid of him. I think he probably saved himself a couple of years.
With the one and only Mark Spears from the undefeated. Mark, I love Monty Williams on and off the court, known him since he was a rookie. We were in New York together. When we talk about Coach Bud and we talk about Monty, I thought that Monty did a fantastic job in games one and two. The correction, and I was hard on Coach Bud, and I had to do the same thing as you, give him a lot of props for his ability to adjust. One of the adjustments that I think Monty and those guys will have to make as well is the ability to put Giannis off the ball, allow him to set screens. We saw that from Booker in game one versus the Clippers, was it? And he got a triple-double. But his ability to ISO, I'm okay with that. Dribble, 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 shoot. You're not getting other people involved. How do you think next year goes with Booker trying to take that next step?
Well, it'll be interesting to see if Chris Paul's next to him or not. You know, I mean, Chris, it kind of seems ridiculous to think that Chris could potentially opt out of a contract making Phil $40 million next season. But, I mean, hey, people have been creative. And I've heard that he's, along with Russell Westbrook, on the Lakers list. And perhaps for Chris, you're not taking a mid-level exception with the Lakers. But if it's a given that you're going to go and Phoenix feels like they need some assets and perhaps could get it with Kuzma and Horton Tucker and, you know, maybe Schroeder or, you know, Harrell. I don't know, man. I know this is about Book, but I don't know who's Book's point guard going to be just yet. If it is Chris Paul, I think he's going to continue to take Book to higher levels.
Mm-hmm.
And the Book, I know, is beating himself up right now. Mm-hmm. And he has to let it go because come tomorrow, he's going to get on that flight with USA Basketball, and he's got to concentrate on getting a gold medal. But last I heard, all them guys are going to be on a plane together. And, I mean, like, you could be Drew Holiday and Middleton, I saw Middleton drinking a lot of champagne at the parade today. Boy, I could see them being asleep with their championship T-shirts and hats on. And wide awake, mad over there. And,
staring at him.
He might go change and sit somewhere else. You know?
he might wake up and that trophy sitting beside him in that open seat. That'd be bad.
Mark, you mentioned that about the Lakers a little bit, too, and Chris Paul, Russell Westbrook. I think the Warriors are a team to watch, too, with assets and a couple of draft picks. What are some of the things you're going to be looking at the most? What storylines do you think might develop here in this, what should be an interesting NBA offseason?
Yeah, my eyes are on the draft next week, seeing this. There's some coveted players amongst the top five. So I could see teams maybe trading picks to get, you know, a veteran player or in hopes of getting, you know, one of those guys, one of those top tier guys. Like if you're Portland and you don't think it's not going to work with Dame, or if you're Washington and you decide to go into rebuild mode, I mean, this is a good draft to do that. So I really feel like something big is going to happen next week. Somebody's going to put their chips in on a young guy and move a veteran star along. So I'm watching Washington. I'm definitely watching Golden State. I do expect something to go down on draft day.
Speaking about something going down, Stotts is out in Portland. They bring in Chauncey Billups, Dame and CJ as a backcourt. If you are, do you go keep CJ, get a loot for Dame? Do you figure out what you can get CJ and try to keep Dame? Or is Dame just unhappy at this particular time because the organization has kind of used some of his best years and wants to leave?
I think we got to see what they do, too. I mean, there's a lot of pressure on O'Shea to put a team around Dame that makes him feel like he can win a title with it. Mm-hmm. Right now, it's like Dame and CJ and the Miracles, you know. they're good players, always seem to get hurt. They're just okay, man. They got good talent, but in the West, you need great talent. So, I mean, Dame has been pretty loyal, very loyal. I think he wanted to extend his whole entire career there, but I think he's fatigued with mediocrity and knows that if this team isn't dramatically better, with Golden State coming back, with Memphis getting better, with Dallas is going to be better next year, like, man, Portland may not make the playoffs at all, you know. So I think he's putting some healthy pressure on him, and if he gets back from the Olympics or a couple of weeks later and it doesn't look any better than it already is, who knows, man. Dame might just say, thanks, but it's time.
He might do the five heartbeats, pull an Eddie Kane on him.
It's inevitable, Doug, that if you're the Blazers, you got to at least think about it.
Yeah.
Because if he doesn't want to be there and you have a potential at a really, really, you know, some really young talents and that could maybe you could turn the thing around with in time and or a disgruntled superstar, hey, maybe you get ahead of it and move him.
No doubt.
You know, Mark, early on we heard.
I really think next week's draft, man. Get your popcorn. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah.
But I expect something unexpected.
Where do you expect Ben Simmons? That was a name we heard early on. A lot of talk. Is he in Philly next year?
I think so, man. Doc loves him a lot. And Doug, I'd like to hear your opinion on this, man. I once was told by a veteran executive, you never get too high or too low about how somebody plays in the postseason.
Okay.
And I think he got beat up too bad for his performance. I know he missed some shots, but I think he will be better. He's still really young. He's still an all-star. He's still very, very talented. So the Sixers are stupid enough to trade him. go get him.
Yeah.
Sacramento, try. I mean, dude, something, right? You know, I heard some rumor trade. I laughed at that. I'm like, nah, that's not enough for Ben Simmons. But I expect him to be back.
You know, Mark, when you say he missed some shots, I think even the bigger thing is he won't take the shots. And I've come, like, if I was dealing and working with Ben, a lot of it I think is psychological. So the psychological approach to him is somebody, Mark, and you give me your take on this, somebody who passes as good as he passes should be able to shoot better, because passing and shooting is the same thing. It is a different angle. Can you hit the target? And he can hit the target. Does he have the willingness to trust somebody enough to figure that piece out?
Well, I'm going to go around your question and say, what did Giannis do?
Good point.
To succeed. You know, he went inside.
Yeah.
Like, we forget Ben Simmons is 6'11".
Yeah.
With a lot. He may not be a great offensive three-point shooter, but he got a lot. He does have a lot of skill.
Yes, he does.
And he can score that thing in the post. So, to me, and he can hit a mid-range jumper. So, forget about the three-pointers, man. Just go inside and dominate that way, because he can dominate that way.
Right.
Work on the free throws. I'm more worried about him being an improved three-point shooter than a free throw shooter than a three-point shooter.
I got you. Yeah.
I think he could. Giannis basically, Doug, like this, I think there's going to be this movement now where the analytic people are looking bad.
I would agree.
Three-pointers and living and dying by the three. But if you look at these final, Chris Paul, mid-range jumper. Devin Booker, mid-range jumper.
Yep.
Chris Middleton, mid-range jumper. What was Giannis doing? Scoring in the post.
Yep.
Shot 65% from the field. 50 points. And they won, right?
Yep.
He shot three threes, I think. Made one of them. Like, this whole three-point revolution, I think it's bad for basketball. Causing teams to lose games. And I don't care what nobody say, man. If you shoot within 5 feet, your chances of making it are a lot better.
Yeah. Yeah.
I shot 65% my last year in college for a reason. Everything was within 5 feet.
Hey, Mark, I mean, three beats two, but two beats nothing. And at the same time, when you look at that,
if you don't make it.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Like, man, let's be real. Guys like Steph and, you know.
Yeah, but we're talking like about Dame, the greatest, like, Mark. You bring up the greatest. Like
yeah, those are different ball games. But everybody can't shoot threes, bro. Nope. But come on now.
Analytics is a tool. It's not the defining thing. It's a tool in the toolbox that you use when needed.
Yeah.
I would agree.
Yeah. Mark,
man. I think I hope the trend goes back, because I think teams will see, hey, man, we're going to go in the post, because we're going to get more, you know, more bang for our buck that way.
Yeah. Mark, how much fun have
you get fouled.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. The other bonus.
Mark, how about using the bonus to your right. to your benefit, Mark? I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Mark, how much fun have you had with hoop stories? I mean, that's Doug and I just watched the James Harden bodyguard, the Michael Jordan one was
spectacular, bro.
How much fun has that been for you?
Can you guys explain it to people that don't know what it is?
Sure. Well, yeah, I mean, it's
do you want me to do it?
Yeah, you probably should.
Yeah. About 3 years ago, with the Undefeated, our great producer, Sharon Matthews, had me fly in to our offices in D.C. and literally tell stories. She wanted me to tell stories, as many as I could think of. And, you know, I've been covering NBA since 99. Doug knows most of the good stories.
Yeah.
Like, you know, talking about what happened in Vlade Divac's club and stuff like that. Like, I just tell the story. Although I told a G-rated version of the Vlade Divac club story. But I basically spent like 2 hours telling stories, and now they've put them to animation. And so it's been really, really cool. We've done two so far. One about a story I heard on Michael Jordan, but most of them are going to be stories that I was a part of. And the last one was time I was in a lounge with Cleveland assistant coach, who was at that time a Rockets assistant, J.D. Bickerstaff, and we were there when James Harden's bodyguard got his butt kicked by a fan.
Man.
Which was very, very interesting. So I just tell that story, and then the animation makes it even
it does.
More funny than it already was.
No doubt. I have to get you the Keon Clark a cigarette in halftime. We'll do that over a glass of wine sometime, bro.
Or the what I told Chris the Birdman Anderson buying a pit bull on the road.
Oh man, that's spectacular.
And leaving it on the team bus, thinking nobody would notice.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, come on!
And he's probably whining. Every day, Mark.
Yeah, you know the good ones, man. The good ones, I can't.
Yeah, you can't get them all out there. Yeah, that's for sure.
Mark, I'm reeling them in. So you first one. Every day, I'm about speaking things into existence.
Uh-oh.
Every day, NBA world champion Sacramento Kings. You go ahead and vibe with that, baby. We're gonna go and bring that home, Mark. Okay.
What are you talking about, the 2K video game?
It don't matter, baby. We about to bring it home. Come on, Mark. It's been shown that it can be done. See, I like you. I like your vibe. See, immediately you're like, I don't know, D. But that's okay, Mark. That's all right.
No, I hey, man, I respect your enthusiasm.
Yeah. Hey, man, don't start stuttering on me because I ain't feeling that.
Hey, man, bro, let's can we do something?
What's
me
that?
And you. I love you, right?
Yep.
You love me back, right?
Absolutely.
Let's say Sacramento Kings playoff.
See, okay. See, I'm glad that you said that, Mark, because this has been my thing, okay? Now, listen to my rationale here. Everybody wants to make the playoffs.
Go deep on me on this one.
Okay, everybody wants to make the playoffs. The problem is, if you're shooting only for the playoffs, when you miss, you're always out. But if you're shooting for a championship, there's a different level of commitment, of understanding, of sacrifice, and hell, you end up in the playoffs because you set your goals so high. You feel me?
Yeah.
Nothing.
With reservations.
I feel you, but I'm, you know.
Hey, we're going to have, when it go down, me and you going to have a conversation because I'm going to be drunk, so don't worry about it.
Hoop stories on Doug Christie.
Maybe you know something about somebody coming here that I don't know about, but based on what I see it right now.
Stay with me, Mark. Stay with me, baby.
Yeah, I'm going to stay with you. It's going to be a while.
What does that mean?
Doug will be here.
Yeah, I'll be here.
Hey, nothing more I would like to see than Sacramento experience that. That would be amazing.
Yeah, you know I can't let you get away. We talked about everybody in the NBA without throwing the bid in. You know how it rolls, homie.
No, we can talk about Kings. We don't talk about championship, but
I'll do that part. How about that? Let me. I speak it into existence.
Y'all gonna keep Bagley? What's the deal with that?
I haven't seen. Now it's above my pay grade, bro. You coming up definitely above my pay grade. What's up with that? You're supposed to know these things.
I think it's important to re-sign him. Because you can't let when he's healthy, he plays well.
Agreed.
There's no doubt about that to me.
Yeah, agreed.
And his biggest problem is not the game of basketball, it's staying healthy. Now, obviously, there's some hurt feelings and some frustration and stuff like that. But another thing, the reason why you got to keep him is you got to keep him as an asset. So you re-sign him. And then if it don't work out, you trade them the same way the Clippers did with Blake Griffin, the same way the Nuggets did with Nene to Washington years ago.
Well said.
You can't lose him for nothing.
Right.
You got to re-sign him. Kings can't afford to just let a young talent, I don't even think the dude is 25 yet, go.
No. Yeah, I agree.
I think you sign him to a reasonable number. He has to be realistic about his worth right now. And hopefully it works out. If not, then you move him. You don't lose him for nothing.
Yeah.
Don't worry. I'm going to bring you around on this.
That's right. And I'm going to send you two brackets next year.
My man.
Thanks, Mark.
Oh, we man. Doug, you're not on that that sticky icky today, are you?
Hey, man, it's already past 4:20, but it's almost 5 o'clock.
All right, bro.
Appreciate you, bro.
Thanks, Mark. That's the great Mark Spears joining us here. Always appreciate. He wasn't all the way in, Doug, but we'll keep working on it.
What do you mean? Just They're not supposed to be all the way in,
just
man.
Keep working.
That's right.
Yep.
You keep
every time he comes on,
as the great Bob Marley said, you keep taking a bucket to the well. One day, the bottom I drop out.
That's what we're doing here. Yeah. When we come back, our final hour of the day, 5 on it coming your way next here on KHDK.